with King Asa. Maybe worse, I don't know. The whole land's divided, if you know the story, two kingdoms, but the enemy is all over the place, wreaking havoc. It's bad news. The picture I want to leave you with is this. Swiss cheese, which I've never eaten in my life. But my question for you, a provoking question, is your heart and your mind like Swiss cheese? Like the Israelites, right? This is what they had. They had land, they had some dominion, domain, but the enemy also had a lot of land. And this is us, right? The thing about the enemy is he just doesn't want to stay put. He wants to take dominion too, right? He wants to possess us, not in a demonic possession way, but he just wants to just to rule and reign over us. But Jesus is inviting us to conquer the land of our heart and minds. Amen. Does that make sense? Okay. Is it kind of visual? This is the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Again, it speaks to us. Right, and this is the Christian life, right? I would say most of us, we've never fully occupied the land, right, in our hearts and minds, right? There's still areas I think we can all agree that we want to grow and look more like Jesus. But I think the reality, and I'm not trying to sound a little pessimistic here, but the reality is, you know, we know the Old Testament was kind of a sad story that's leading up to Jesus, right, which is awesome. But it's like a lot of Christians, right? It's just the enemy's got too much ground in them. And it's this cyclical thing, if you read the Old Testament, of constant, you know, bondage, pain, suffering, until God in his mercy delivers them, and then they repeat and repeat. So my heart for myself is, I don't want Swiss cheese. I want, like, mozzarella or, like, cheddar. I want my whole land occupied, right? And the goal for us as Christians is not just to act Christian. It's to look like Jesus. Amen. Like I shared, that Jesus came to show us how to live. It actually says in 1 John 2, anyone who claims to abide with Jesus or to be intimate must walk as he did. So Jesus, again, showed us how to live. So the goal is transformation in a Jesus image. That's what we're aiming for, right? We want to look like him. We want to walk like him. When people see us, they see the Father. Amen. Yeah. So when we think about Swiss cheese, you're like, what do I know? Like, what's my, like, litmus test? Like, how do I know if, like, the enemy's got room in my heart or my mind? Again, it's in the heart of the mind, so it's just us cueing in to our thought life and our emotional life, right? So if we find ourselves in these, you know, patterns of, you know, as my spiritual mom said, stinking thinking, or there's just this constant cyclical emotional pain and bondage that's producing, you know, weird behavior, that's the enemy, right? That's what it is. And to be blunt, right, not to freak us all out, it's a demonic spirit that's coming against us and it's influencing us. But it's also an invitation for us to come to Jesus and to gain freedom. Amen. We're going to talk about that later. So my goal, and I've shared this with a few people, you know, the enemy, what he would do is he'd come on here in the land. If we look at the maps, he'd set up his own strongholds, right? And Paul will talk about that later, we know, in the New Testament. But my goal isn't just getting rid of the bad. It's being filled up with the person of Jesus. I feel like so often in the Christian life, we're just trying to not sin. We're trying not to be evil, right? But no, that's not the gospel. The gospel is freedom, but it's also being filled with Jesus, right? It's the spirit-filled life. And so I want strongholds of hope, strongholds of joy, strongholds of whatever. I want strongholds of, like, anointing, of healing, of power, like all these things that if we would picture are you know, like Jesus, aspects of God himself, I want those set up as fortresses in the land of my heart and in my mind. Amen. Because the reality is, if we don't have that, we're usually going to slip back in to kind of the old man, right? The old way of how we live and walk. So, for example, if I'm cueing in to discouragement, like, man, like this is something I've shared, man, I want to be more joyful. It's not just getting rid of depression or heaviness or discouragement. It's like I want to be filled up with strongholds of hope in me, right? So in my mind, those thought processes, I have a fortress of hope, so it stubbornly thinks about hopeful things. That my heart is stubbornly bent towards a hopeful disposition. Whereas the opposite, it's all right, we can, you know, fall into the pit quickly, right? Amen. So let me move on here. So when we look at like King Asa, right, we saw he was doing awesome things, right? He was clearing the land, getting rid of idols. It's kind of walking like David almost, you know, really just doing awesome things. And as we shared, it's just like the enemy, right? Once you're doing good, the enemy is going to like come and try and smack you a bit to get you to slow down, right? So for us, you know, with that picture, isn't that the Lord though, right? We're growing in our faith, then opposition comes. But why does the Lord even allow the opposition, right? It's an invitation. It's his mercy showing us, hey, we got this land over here. Let's take it. Right? You're ready. I believe in you. It's not because you're doing bad, like you've, you know, oh man, here I go again. Here I'm struggling again. Here it's happening again. I thought I was doing good, you know. I have 6 months of growth. And now, no, it's Jesus taking you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But the maturity comes through the fire. It comes through the opposition. So if we want to grow in our faith, we got to prepare for war. We got to go to battle, you know. For the Israelites, it meant literally like you got to get out your sword and like chop off some heads. Because that's what it meant, you know. And that was actually the commandment, you know, in the Old Testament. So, you know, if we're longing to look more like Jesus, it's preparing for war. It's an exciting time. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. So I just want to encourage you. I feel like, you know, with Christians, you know, it's not an, like, at least I'll speak for myself here. My walk with the Lord hasn't been this, like, easy, straight, whatever you call it, bell curve. I don't know if that's the right math, you know. It's more like this, right? But that's the Lord, right? We're doing strong, and then the enemy comes, and then it's maybe I'm struggling in my identity, but it's an invitation for more, right? So if that's you, don't worry. God's bringing greater freedom into your life. It's a time of excitement. And I want to back to what we saw with Nick and Rick up here, right? Leaning on Jesus. It's interesting, we read in Joshua and in Judges how the enemy brought a lot of opposition, right? He wasn't just going to like, here's my house. And really, here, kill all my family and take everything I own. No, he's going to fight. He's going to put up his best fight because he wants his land, right? That was his land. He wants to keep it. It's kind of simple, right? But I just want to kind of share this. It's interesting because if you know the story of the Israelites conquering, right? They did conquer. When they went in, it required full dependency on God. It required some kind of weird strategies at times. Right? Jericho, walk around for 7 days, then make a loud noise. You'll win that way. You know, it wasn't okay, build the biggest catapult and get like the flaming arrows and like the best military strategy. You know, it was full dependency on Jesus. And I kind of want to, this is just on my heart, and I don't know, maybe take it to the Lord, but I feel like sometimes in my life, when I'm, you know, growing in my faith, I can turn to Christian discipline rather than the person of Jesus. And I'm just going to share a testimony. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not, like every morning I'm up praying, reading the Bible. But I remember, you know, I've gone through my own struggles. I remember once I was really struggling with depression and seeing a counselor and everything. And I remember I was unemployed at the time too. And I had a lot of time to pray, right? It was awesome. I remember I was praying like 2 or 3 hours a day. But then I get out of the prayer closet and kind of live like hell. And it's always, I've always remembered that, because it's like I had this awesome discipline and devotional life, but it wasn't translating to transformation. And I don't really know what the disconnect was, but one thing I knew, and I still am very mindful of and intentional of, I can have the most awesome devotional life and Christian discipline in my life, but if I come out of the prayer closet, I better hope I'm taking Jesus with me. And I think it's easy to kind of leave him in there and we just get busy and, you know, go about our day. Is anyone else? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. But I just wanted to share that, because I really believe if we're going after transformation and really allowing Jesus to saturate our heart and our mind fully, as God promised the Israelites in the Old Testament, I believe it requires a 24/7 wholehearted devotion to the person of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So we can almost worship the habit but forget to lean on the person, right? So, I'm all for Christian discipline and stuff. I want to kind of unpack this. Where we saw this resistance, right, of with the Israelites. And I've seen this, you know, with a lot of people I've discipled. You know, we can think of awesome Christian habits, right, like declaration, right, like speaking, you know, the word of God over yourself and you exercising your authority over, like, the land of your heart and mind, or maybe scripture memorization, maybe an awesome, fruitful devotional life, maybe a profound worship life that you take wherever you go, right? The enemy comes, right? I don't know about you, but maybe I'm dealing with something, and I get all, like, super gung-ho, and I'm worshiping. It usually comes back the next day, right? The enemy does, he's not weak. I mean, he's weak compared to Jesus, but he's not a pushover, right? He knows how to knock on our door, unfortunately. But what I'm trying to say is, often I've seen people, and we can take these profound spiritual truths, and over time, when we see the resistance, we can kind of lose heart, right? We can kind of lose faith that, man, maybe this declaration stuff really isn't working that much. Or, man, I've been worshiping a lot, but man, I'm still got this stuff going on. I've seen a lot where I'll be encouraging people, you know, man, you know, like in your workplace, if you're having a hard time, man, turn on some worship music or just declare God's truth over your circumstances. But I there's almost this, well, I've already tried that attitude, you know, where it's like, I've tried that, but it didn't work for me. Almost this disillusionment with kind of these truths God has taught us and brought us into to lean on him, right? With, again, back to Joshua, that resistance. They tried going to war. We just read about it. They probably lost some people, right? There was a battle. There was a fight. But it took really what, they lost heart is what happened, right? They were content with occupying half the land and the other half, like, fine, I couldn't I couldn't make it in. I just couldn't get breakthrough in that area. You know, I tried walking in greater evangelism, and I tried healing people and taking steps of faith, but it never seemed to click in my lifestyle, right? So they just kind of give up, and they just like, well, that's not for me, I guess. And there's that kind of disillusionment lifestyle where the enemy is kind of, he's kind of just, that opposition's almost kind of gained his victory in us, in a part of our heart and mind, right? Does that make sense? Maybe. So I want to, in other words, what I'm saying is, how much land in your heart and mind do you want filled with Jesus? Yeah, I hope so, right? So I want to encourage us, let's don't let up. If we want the more, I joke with Megan on Todd's tombstone, it'll be more, Lord. If we want more, is that's like our one of our mottos here, you know, let's don't give up. Let's don't get disillusioned with the process of looking more like Jesus, right? As we write in Joshua, there was 5 years of war, but they still had about half the land still unoccupied by them. But again, I really believe it's wholehearted devotion on Jesus. So when maybe it looks like in our hearts and our minds, when, man, I just don't seem to get breakthrough in this area, or I just don't feel like I'm looking more like him or walking the way he did, it's an invitation to draw closer to him. Not just, okay, I'm going to go do the thing more, and I'm going to, I don't know about you, but my devotional times can get very mindless, right? Like brushing my teeth, I just do it. Or like driving the car, and I don't even remember like how I got to where I got. It just happened, right? But for me, it's like, what land in my heart do I want filled with Jesus? If I see strongholds of the enemy or I see vacant space, it's an invitation to draw near to God, to come near, to lean on him. And whether that's in the devotional time, or it's in the worship service, it's in my home group, or all these profound things, it's an invitation to listen to his voice. Amen. Yeah. So it's moving away from an hour a day to all day. When I'm at work, I'm leaning on Jesus. I just, you know, guys know, I just had my new girl's 3 weeks old. Yesterday, 3 weeks old. Life's a little crazy. I lean on Jesus. Or I could just be Daniel and reap what I have. But I want to grow around my house. I want to exude more gentleness and more, you know, peace in the midst of chaos, which I probably am not walking in fully right now, right? Maybe some other parents can relate to me, or maybe you remember. But that's like, okay, Jesus is right here. I want to lean on him and not just do my devotional walk, but never gain transformation. And a lot of people say, you know, like, man, I'm like a construction site. I'm always going to be a work in progress. I don't like that. Jesus said, be holy as I'm holy. He wouldn't give an impossible commandment, you know. And we, as I said, 1 John 2, if anyone claims to abide in him, we can walk as he did. And we've been Romans 8, we've been predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And we all know that will happen in heaven, hallelujah. But I also believe we can walk in that here on earth, because I believe that's the gospel, right? Okay. Just some questions for us to think about. You know, what do you want to be free of? So let me back up. The Bible says without vision, people perish. And I want you to think about yourself. You know your heart, you know your mind, you know what goes on, right? Hopefully. If not, we can tune in, right, and practice that. But What do you, with the picture of the land of Israel, let's picture that's you. You know, whatever that looks like, I'm not sure. But what would you love to be free of in your heart, in your mind, in your thinking? So if the enemy is squatting in the land, what would his name be? I mean, is it anger? Is it frustration? Is it a poverty mentality or that orphan spirit that was mentioned last week? Or, like, I don't know. So just thinking about that, or on the flip side, and I like to emphasize, what do you want to be filled of? Like, do we want to see more people encounter God on the street and for God to use you as his vessel to lay hands on the sick and to cast out demons and to see Seattle transformed? That's a promise for us. That's our inheritance in Christ Jesus. So the reason why I ask that, just that the vision is, again, sometimes I feel like we're just doing all this Christian stuff, but Jesus, there's that kind of that Joshua call. It's like, man, you're getting old. Let's go and let's enter in. Let's conquer the land. Let's do this. And Jesus is like, you know, strapped up for war, and he's got his sword ready to go. But sometimes we don't even know the enemy's name, and we're just almost, there's almost this, again, this acquiescence where we're just allowing the enemy just to kind of, okay, that, yeah. Okay, my life's not so bad. I'm a good person. I share an example. It's like, you know, we think of pornography, right? Kind of yucky. Many of us have been freed from that, right? We're like, oh yeah, we need to go after that, get free of that. But what about like pride? It's funny how we tolerate one thing but hate another when they're both are reaping destruction in us, right? So I think that's just, you know, as you go home, and we'll pray tonight a bit, it's what's Jesus. It's like the beautiful thing about God, and maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because maybe you feel like your life is a bit messy and chaotic and the enemy is really like just kind of really got you around the neck right now. And I just want to encourage you, as we see in Joshua, the Lord went after one enemy at a time. It says in Exodus 23, little by little you shall inherit the promised land. It wasn't like this quick nuclear bomb that went off. No, it was progressive. It took time, as I shared. It was 5 years. They were still in the war process. So I just want to encourage you, if there is a battle for you between with you and Jesus to like gain ground in your heart and in your mind, what would be that next enemy or that next piece of land for you guys to go after? Because again, I in my life, when I'm on autopilot doing the Christian thing, I got home groups, I come here, I have a great devotional life, kind of great, I guess, not really. I would hate to have a long devotional time where I'm not looking like Jesus, right? Does that make sense? I don't know. I'm just trying to emphasize that because I really think the byproduct of, again, I shared 1 John 2, is knowing Jesus as we begin to look like him, right? That's the, you get near him, he rubs off on you. And that's what we want. We sit at the feet of Jesus. We look more like him. We grow into the person of Jesus. But we want that within these kind of Christian disciplines. We want that on our mind. It's like, yeah, Lord, here I am. What are you saying? You know, man, I want to look more like you. Man, you're really pushing that hope thing on my heart. Or man, I really want to love my wife better or love my children better. Or man, I want to be more, maybe some of you are musically inclined, man, I want more courage and boldness to be on the worship team because I know you want to move through me that way. So Lord, how can I do that? What's the next step? What's the strategy that you're giving me? What's that thing I can commit to? Maybe it's an inner healing thing. Maybe it's something practical the Lord wants to give you. Maybe it's committing to something. But as we shared in week one, you know, whenever David lived a lifestyle of dependency on the Lord, because whenever he went to battle, he would always inquire and require of God. Even though he was a skilled and gifted military commander, he loved Jesus, he worshiped him, he still tuned in. I'm good at this, but what's the strategy to gain victory? Amen. So I want to pray. And I'm giving a lot of time today because I want to stir up the prophetic a bit, just see what God does. Right? We want to do that. But before I jump in, I've been doing this. I know you guys seem a little bashful, and that's okay. No shame in that, because I know crowds can be intimidating. Do we have any questions? Now is your opportunity. I love Q&A because I think it helps other people. Yes, Sylvia. Yeah. So talking about like kind of the generational stuff going on. And it's interesting, in Asa, in chapter 15, he had to later tear down his grandmother's idol. Yes, absolutely. Yes and no. So I think some things, there is a deep, or there's a spirit, we receive like a spiritual DNA, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's awesome. Like a lot of you are awesome parents and you're loving Jesus, that's going down to your kids, whether you see it or not. There's also the flip side, right, where like my parents a lot of times struggled with anger, and I've definitely struggled with that in my own life. And it's in prayer week, I have definitely taken authority over that. And yes, forgiving my parents, forgiving myself, or other, we know there's other leaders. And what Sylvia brings up, maybe that's new for you guys, a great place, the inner healing we have here, we usually tackle that somehow, but we can talk more about that too. One or two more questions. Yes. Sure. Yeah, and especially in busyness, right? We busyness is okay. I think that's at least for me, when I've worked too, it's a challenge. Like, I would say, and a lot of the other mamas can, I'm sure, can share their advice too. I mean, I definitely think it's challenging. I know my wife has a hard time doing that, but I think just first of all, knowing that. Well, I say this loosely, but Jesus lives in you, and whether you're in an intense worship setting or you're changing diapers, there is a difference, but there's not much of a difference, right? And I actually feel like Jesus, he wants to be in those moments, like that's his desire. Like, he wants to be in those moments more than you want him to be in those moments. So, in other words, he's not far away, right? So what I do with me is just, especially if there's those more monotonous times where it's boring and you can kind of tune your mind into God, or even pray in tongues if you can do that, or even sing a worship song, or even just thinking about him, or thinking about even all the wonderful things he's done in you, and just letting all his goodness fill and saturate your thinking. And especially when you're in these mundane kind of low things, sometimes it's easy to lose sight of God. But I would like to close with this, is what's Jesus saying to you? Because maybe, again, we know all the little tools, right? We got our hammer, our saw, and, you know, I know how to, especially if you've been following Jesus a while, you know how to, like, do all the things. But what's Jesus saying to you as you're at home, and you're like, man, Lord, I really want to bring you more into my, just as a mama here, and I'm at home, like, how can I do that with you? And just kind of tuning your ear, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's going to bring a little more long-term fruit, because you're probably going to maybe consistently go after that. But does that kind of help? Okay. I love that question, by the way, because that's real life, right? Okay. Yeah, feel free. You know, we're going to head into like a time of prayer. I love hanging out after, get to know people, great questions, go deep, you know, talk to each other. Glean on each other. Next week, that's what we're talking about. It's going to be amazing. I'm really excited. Okay, how am I going to do this? The Lord's been given, if you've been here the last 2 weeks, it's been this steady word for our children. And it was really cool today. I really felt like he dropped a pretty powerful word. But maybe have a few of us pray, and then I'm going to share a word, and then we're going to open it up. For other words, we want that, right? We love the gift of prophecy, and we want to grow in that. We want to pray for each other. God's specific too, and I love when he highlights people. But, you know, I know, again, big setting. Some people, you know, we get bashful. Maybe we're more comfortable in a small group. That's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But it's cool when the Lord highlights people in a large group too, right? And it's just, there's something powerful about it, right? So let's get a little, like, a little wild and a little bold and a little weird maybe. We're practicing, we're learning. Yeah, okay. Why don't we have Sylvia and Linda, can you guys briefly pray for us and just welcome the Holy Spirit, and he's already here, but yeah, you guys know what I'm saying. Why don't you go first, Sylvia, and then you can hand it to Linda.
Oh, Lord, we just ask that you would come and be glorified radically in the midst of this place, Lord, that every heart would be open to you. Holy Spirit, come and just rest in us. Show things, Lord, that are exactly what the pinpoint things that you have that you want to do for each individual. That is not a big job for you. You know every single one of us intricately, for you've made us. We are knit together from the womb in beautiful ways, Lord. I just pray that truths will come out tonight and that the battle will be clear and the strategies made known. Be honored, Lord. I pray that every heart would just be completely open right now. And so tenderized, and so every spiritual ear listening right now and hearing and sensing what it is. If it's a bruised area, Lord, I just pray that you would just make them aware of the bruises. If it's something that's just been stuffed down and been afraid to be dealt with, Lord, if this is the time, then you know, and let each one know what needs to be done. Because you are glorious, and you want us to know our glorious God is in that place doing a perfect work. So we open our hearts to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Father, we just come before your presence now, and we know that according to the word of the living God, that when we seek you, we can find you. And Father, that when we come to you, that you show yourself to us. And I think of that verse in John 14 that says that if you love me, and you obey me, that the Father and the Son will come and they will manifest their self to you. And Lord, I thank you that that is what we want. We want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, come into our life, come into our mind. And Father, I pray that he will abide within us so strong, because we're going to love you, we're going to worship you, and Father, we're going to obey you, that we can have that promise and the word of the living God. And Father, I thank you for this time. You see how we are asking for more prophetic words. We're asking, Lord, to show yourself to us, Lord. I even think of this mother with children. And Lord, I know, having four of my own, but I remember the time you told me to put down the Bible for a minute and take care of my kids, because I was so hungry for everything to do with you. You understand all those things, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for what you're doing tonight, and that you're going to show yourself to us in your own way. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's just take a moment of silence. We can just tune in to the Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you for your presence. Yeah, you love us. You love your body. And I pray you, whether it's a personal word, Lord, I pray we would hear better just between us and you, Lord. We would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And for those growing and hearing your voice, Lord, we just take off all anxiety, all discouragement. You're so proud of them. You're so excited. But thank you, God. We thank you for this word that I share tonight, and it's yours, Lord. It's yours. Do the work, Holy Spirit. We can't do anything apart from you. Apart from you, we, as Jesus says, we can do nothing. You say, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear fruit, and fruit that will remain. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to save my word to the end, because I want to, does anyone have anything? No pressure. Maybe it's something you need to find someone afterwards on a more of a one-on-one thing. That's totally fine. But yes. What's your name again? Jessica, here, I'll run back to you. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, or not, but not. Yeah. Backwards. The other one. Hi. I'm actually just going to read a little brief thing that just was just kind of on my heart, and I was journaling. And I just feel like I'm just going to say it, and then we'll just say the Lord use that to just touch us. And really, it's just, I just was feeling, there's so many strong feelings going on in lots of our areas. So whether it's circumstances in our own personal lives, or it's just the chaos that's in the atmosphere, probably living in the state, and just possible feelings of burnout and just a little bit of lack of hope in moments, you know, whether it's personal again or if it's more universal thoughts of that, and just really because of the battle. And I just kind of was looking at this and thinking, wow, the highlighted of the Lord is going to restore the joy again to that which he has called you. And how does he do that? Because he does deep encounters with us, and we just have to allow that, just receive him. And then that's where the Lord reminds us again of who he is, that he will remind you again of the hope of your calling and the joy of what you have been assigned to, and the place of rest in him, and the deep place of intimacy that refreshes your heart and soul and brings you back to the place of joy and partnering with him and what he has called you to do. And so just wanted to just send that as encouragement. It is a hard thing sometimes to grasp what Paul talks about in terms of the joy in the suffering or the joy in the hardship, but it's the joy that when we're in the presence of the Lord that refreshes new wind and restores. And new wind sounds like a funny word. I just mean it's a refreshing. So when you breathe in and you exhale and you're in the presence of the Lord, he anoints you with a new peace. He anoints you with his joy. Even when you're just worshiping the goodness of him, when you start to just praise on the blessing of the things he's done for you, the things he's saved you from, the things that you asked for and maybe even forgot. And then you were like, he did that. Or big things that are very significant in your testimony because your story matters. And so as we process those and bring them to the throne room and just worship on him, adore him, and realize he's doing the same back, that's the inner joy that sets you up to step back out into your circumstance or your community or the atmosphere that's hard. It's you know, it's battling, right? It's the things of the unseen places in the spiritual warfare. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. So that's just kind of the word of encouragement. A place to rest in that too, to take a breath. So.
It speaks to me. Maybe two more. Could be even a word of knowledge for healing or... Okay. Yeah, Kim.
So I heard the word elementary, and so I asked, Lord, you know, tell me more. I don't have a very specific, but I just feel like there may be one or more of us in this room who had a deep hurt or something happened when they're elementary school age, maybe something that embarrassed them or shamed them or whatnot, and just the Lord just wants to set you free from that. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
It's funny because I wrote down, like, forgiveness. So, yeah, if that resonates with you, maybe afterwards we come up and we can pray for you guys. But that's kind of what Sylvia was talking about, too, that forgiveness of past wounds, especially from our childhood. So thank you, Kim. One more. Who wants to, yeah, maybe you've never done this before and it freaks you out. Okay, awesome, Katie.
Well, I don't know if anyone else has been shaken up by what's been going on nationally. It's just been a roller coaster ride, and I've been very distressed, and I've had other things going on. There's a hostile takeover going on in my condo building, which has been freaky, but anyway, my home is threatened. So I've just been really seeking the Lord, and I keep a journal of things the Lord tells me, and I had been so distressed, and finally I got out of bed, and my eye fell on the journal that I'd written about a week ago, and I read this, and I just couldn't believe it, and I thought it would bless all of you. I thought it was so cool. I am your solid rock. My foundation is sure. You can trust me to lead you through these shaky times. You will come out on the other side full of blessing and joy. Nothing is difficult for me. I have conquered it all. Do not be afraid for your future. It is good. Look to me. Don't focus on what is going around you. There is much deception. I am your truth. Look to me. Worship me. And that stuff will fade away.
That's profound. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm going to share mine. We're running out of time. But please, if you have something for someone, maybe feel free to... afterwards. I do want to pray for, I just feel like I can't get away from this, and but I really believe the Lord wants to do something in the families of this church, and especially in our children. Maybe, you know, week one we did pray for you know, sons specifically that were maybe not following the Lord, but I just want to, I guess that I'm going to share a scripture. And the topic will be like our children that were really concerned about their spiritual direction. Because I believe the Lord, I really believe this year we're going to see generational healing and redemption in our homes. And those children maybe you thought would never come back to the Lord will. Amen. You don't have to turn here. In the Gospels, there's a guy named Jairus. Maybe you're familiar. I'm just going to summarize his story. I believe it's a prophetic picture for maybe what the Lord wants to do. Mark 4, Jairus finds Jesus. Jairus is like, my 12-year-old daughter's dying. Please come. Please come and heal her. And Jesus is like, okay. And then this woman comes, touches his garment. She gets rocked. Then these people from Jairus' home come and like, dude, she's dead. Don't bother the master. Don't bother the teacher. Jesus says this really profound to Jairus. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And I feel like that's the word for parents. Don't be afraid. She may look dead spiritually. He may look dead spiritually. Things may look bad, but Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. Just believe. And then Jesus gets closer, and then there's the commotion, right? There's the kind of the chaos of their actions, right? They hired these wailers to, you know, make a big scene. And Jesus is like, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And we know what happens next. In our eyes, she was dead, right? But Jesus comes in, touches her. He says this, little girl, I say to you, get up or rise. I think other translations. And I feel like those really three words there, don't be afraid, just believe. She's not dead. And then little girl, that declarative spoken word, rise in the name of Jesus. Let the resurrection life of Jesus come into our children's life. So, yeah, I want to pray. I know, again, people don't maybe want to admit stuff like this, but we have seen a lot of prodigals in this church come to the Lord. I was one of them. I almost feel like I have a special anointing for this. Like, I was dead and gone. Jesus rescued me on an airplane. I got on, unbeliever. I got off, radically saved. Instant. Yeah, and of course, God was doing his little thing behind the scenes, but we can believe for that suddenly shift. Amen. Okay, can we pray for any children here? Raise your hand if, okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, why don't you guys stand up and we'll just stretch out. I know I'm just believing awesome things. I know a lot of people here were prodigals like me. So Lord, we bless these parents. We just say, don't be afraid. No, we just break off fear of the future. Yes, Lord, we break off fear. We just command it to go in the name of Jesus. We just release faith, that belief. We just say, just believe. That's your work. Just believe. And we just declare that they're children. They're not dead. They're not far away. They're not a lost cause. It's not too late. It's not too hopeless. And we just speak the word of the Lord to them. Little boy, little girl, young man, young woman, son and daughter, we say to you, get up and rise in the name of Jesus. 2021 is the year. It's the year of coming back to the Father's house. We just release total healing over all broken relationship, Lord, both in the natural family and in the spiritual family, Lord, that all broken relationship between you and them would be healed. And they wouldn't just come to church and sing their little song, but they would choose to radically follow Jesus Christ all the days of their life. And they would actually excel past their parents in the name of Jesus. So we bless their homes. We pray for that forgiveness to come if there is brokenness, that healing. And Lord, we ask that you would send the word, you would send the missionary, you would send your spirit to bring breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. You love children and you love our children more than we love our children. Hallelujah. Amen. Good. Bless you guys. You're not alone. We love all of you. And yeah, next week's last week. I'm really excited for that topic. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye. Bless you.